There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Whoop, whoop!
What do you say, LZ? Snatchback power?
There you go.
No, you know what's problem?
What?
Is that it's a duet. It's hard to snatch me back because then I get snatched back the other way. It's like I'm getting wrecked and
Jesus, man. Come on, man. Maluma.
Maluma, yeah. Dog.
All right.
What am I supposed to do with that?
Never mind.
See, you messed me up, Jorge.
I you know what? Listening to the promo coming back in there, you couldn't make it through a single day of the new year. Without going, not literally, I think that was like at this time yesterday, like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Couldn't make it,
and
right.
There you are.
Couldn't make
man.
It. I know.
Yeah,
I
guess
know.
Something. Yeah,
one
every year we have
make right
you beat me to it. Every year we make a list. So here's what we should do differently, and then it's bong 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 right
man,
out of
my
the
year resolution list is so screwed up. I was supposed to read 10 pages of my new book. Scratch. Take yoga yesterday. Scratch. The yoga class came. I was like 15 minutes away. I was like.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to stretch on Saturday. That's good.
That's how I feel. I walked to the gym, and I looked at it. Something I'll get it.
Nah. It'll be there tomorrow.
It'll be there tomorrow.
It'll be there tomorrow.
I'm good.
No, I did. I walked to the gym. No, Raj, I looked. I went, and I was like, forget it.
Well, I ran into you in Starbucks this morning, and you were ordering another one of the waters that you get.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm gonna drink a little bit more water during the show so I don't eat as much. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
it's called January.
Yeah. You can eat all you want, eat things like this all throughout the show.
Yeah. Too much
fruits
sugar.
And vegetables.
Too much
no,
sugar.
Apples are good for you.
It has sugar in it.
Apple a day.
Lot of sugar.
Apple a day. Man.
There we go.
I'm a nutritionist now.
There we go. You know what we didn't talk about yesterday at all, and because it's kind of, we're right smack in the middle of no man's land, is the college football championship game, because the semifinals feel like they were 6 months ago.
First of all, why would we talk about it in Southern California? Who's in it? Ain't UCLA, USC. It's no Pac-12 team.
The teams with good coaches who recruit the right players. It all
you mean
comes,
the right players from Southern California?
I mean,
exactly.
SC is in it. It's just SC's not in it. But yeah, Southern California is in it. All on the line.
It feels like
everything on the line.
Got the right teams. I thought Ohio State would beat Clemson, and they nearly did. And if that fumble were called correctly, I think we'd be looking at Ohio State here in this game.
Unless you're going to. They're going to run. They're going to run Clemson out of
everybody
the building.
Everybody keeps saying that Clemson's going to lose. I'm going to pick LSU.
They're going to run them out the building.
You think so?
LSU got too much stuff.
Burrow going to be a good pro?
I don't know, man. I'm skittish on him. I'm afraid of him.
Best quarterback coming out this year. You got Burrow. You got Herbert. You got Tua. I keep forgetting the kid's name from Utah State.
You know, I go
really
Justin Love. I go back and forth on Justin Herbert. I saw ASU play him live.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that defensive staff is NFL. That's, you know, Herm Edwards, Marvin Lewis. Who is just one of the best defensive coordinating minds, Antonio Pierce. So when I watch that, I can see a lot of things that they did from an NFL level. But then when I go to the Rose Bowl and I'm standing on the sideline and I'm watching him throw, but I'm watching him against Wisconsin.
Gravy boots?
Yeah, a lot of gravy boots. Everybody on their team look like they farming.
Cheese boots. It's Wisconsin.
Everybody on the team look like they farming, though. Everybody. Even the brothers that was skill position. Like, oh, man, what tractor are you driving today? And so when I watch him throw against them dudes, I'm like, he got some stuff. And when he ran the ball,
he's a much better athlete than I think at first glance, because he's huge. He's 6'6". He's a big guy.
I'm a little skittish on Tua, and I'm a little skittish on
Love.
Joe Burrow.
You were skittish on Tua before the injury.
Yeah, exactly. But Joe Burrow, man, he throwing to a lot of dudes that can go.
Yeah.
You know, them dudes down there, Marshall and Jefferson and all them dudes can play. And Tua's throwing to 4 NFL first-round wide receivers.
So you're faulting these quarterbacks for having talented teammates?
No, you don't. Okay. It's not that you fault them for having talented teammates. I've seen in the many years that I've been around football, mm-hmm. as a player, as a former player, as an analyst, all of those things, I've watched quarterbacks throw to talented skill position players and get to the next level, and they, come on. But I've also seen quarterbacks that have 0 receivers turn out to be Ben Roethlisberger's of the world, you know, and mm-hmm. and you sit there and go, wow.
So how do you differentiate between a QB having just talented teammates and a talented QB?
Well, because you're looking at you. That's why you got to see quarterbacks up close in person. Mm-hmm. That's why scouts and general managers, they want to see you throw. We need to see your wrist snap. We need to see you plant your foot. We need to see your hips twist. We need to see how that ball's coming off. Is it spinning? Is it floating? Is it rotating? What does it look like? Balls are thrown slightly behind guys. And you say, well, he was able to make that catch.
That's picked in the NFL.
That's picked in the NFL. Yeah. And not only is it picked in the NFL, you are, like Tua, for instance, he's throwing to four mm-hmm. number one picks. Judy, Ruggs, Smith, all them dudes going in the first round. In the NFL, he's going to throw to NFL guys, but he may only be throwing the one first-round pick, if that. You know, he may
and
only...
And the guys on defense are not going to be working at Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
And they're not going to be...
pros, too.
Well, not only that, they're not going to be freshmen...
Not Avis?
They're not going to be freshmen that just left the prom. You're going to be throwing against dudes with full beards.
They got to eat. And
private school tuition. That's
not the one. Here's one for you. Full beards with car seats in the back. So imagine what that looked like. They got car seats in the back. They got tuition to pay. So they mad on their way to work.
Right. Because they weren't supposed to get married so young, and now here they are.
That's their fault.
Exactly.
That's their fault. All right. So Lakers tonight, mm-hmm. the Knicks are up next. The Knicks are bad. And this is an opportunity for the Lakers to do something that we've been talking about. We talked about it yesterday. We talked about it before everybody disappeared for the holidays. Is this is a bad team that mm-hmm. the Lakers should be able to jump on, get a big lead, and sit LeBron and maybe AD for the fourth quarter. And maybe it's not load management in the way that other teams are doing it, but it could be the Laker version of load management, which is be up by 25 points at the start of the fourth quarter.
But I hear that argument and I understand the argument, but maybe the Lakers don't want to have that style. They don't want to be up by 25. Maybe they're okay with playing guys at a certain level.
What are you talking about? Come on, man. Who doesn't want to blow out their opponent?
No, that's not... I'm talking about the way that they're playing these guys, the minutes that they give them. Maybe they're constructing it as such that they're not positioning themselves to be up by 25 points. So they don't have to worry about the load management.
Wait, I'm
you're going to have to explain that again.
Yeah, man, I'm lost.
Shut up, Raj. What I'm saying...
Put up a poll.
...is when you have a team and your style of play...
Okay.
...and his style of play, Frank Vogel... is not looking, for whatever reason, it's not that he's not looking for it, he's not coaching his team to be up by 25 points. He's just coaching them to win the game. And that's how he's coaching it. And when y'all looking at it, you're saying, well, it's putting too many minutes on LeBron, let's get up by 25 so you can sit him down. That's not the way they approach it. Not their approach.
So like in football terms, for instance, you're talking about an offense that runs, clock manage, and scores like maybe 15 to 20 points versus a high-flying offense looking to hang 40.
That's... Exactly. That's not what they want to do.
Can I make it super easy? The Lakers are 29-7. The Knicks are 10-26.
They should win.
Be up by 25 points going into the fourth quarter.
They should be up by 25 points against all those sub-500 teams, but they're not. And I hear what you're
saying.
But it
could be their style.
I hear what you're saying.
I don't think it's their style. I think it's a reflection of their bench.
Their bench, yeah.
I think it's the bench that they can build those leads. They built the lead against Phoenix. What was it, 24, 25 points? Bench comes in. The lead starts to evaporate. I think it's a byproduct of team construction more so than offensive scheme.
You look at it. Just look at the game they played the other night against the Pistons. Pistons aren't any good.
No.
Pistons are 13-24.
They're not good with Blake Griffin.
They're just not a good team. No. And the Lakers let it. We saw it with Orlando. We saw it mm-hmm. with Atlanta. We've seen it with these teams where they just kind of let them float around. They'll get leads, and then the lead kind of comes back in, to your point, LZ, about when that bench comes in, when that second unit comes in, and that 18-point lead is a 9-point lead. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, okay, got to go put LeBron back out there. He's got to hit the gas. You got to go back out. Now I got a 17-point lead again. And now it's just this idea of when he comes out, they're very, very different.
What happens, too, a lot of times when you watch the Lakers this season, is that they'll build their lead based upon their size, right? They maximize their size and build a lead. And then once the lead is established, they start shooting these long jumpers. Ill-advised threes, early in the shot clock. LeBron starts, you know, let me see if I can hit this step back against this 7-footer instead of just driving to the bucket and getting the easy two. You can see if I can shoot this shot. And you allow a team to get back in it. They've got to stop doing that. that just builds bad habits. Maybe not for LeBron, maybe not for AD, but for some of those other players who aren't as talented, who aren't as experienced, they start falling into a lull that maybe they can't pull themselves out of the way a better player can. They got to stop doing that.
Have you ever thought that maybe they're taking this time to get into a rhythm? They're using the time to take those ill-advised shots to try to get into a rhythm?
I mean, listen, when you're in your mid-20s and you do stuff like that, I'm okay with it. When you're trying to get a championship and your best player is 35 years old, you shouldn't be trying to do that. You should be trying to establish a lead, maintain the lead, have that dude sit. You know what Giannis is doing? Giannis sits.
Yeah.
They build a big lead, they hold on to it, and Giannis doesn't play in fourth quarters.
Dun, dun, dun!
Raj! Breaking news, huh?
Some breaking news in the NFL world. The Carolina Panthers.
Pronounce his last name right.
They've hired Bojangles as their next. No, I'm just kidding. They've hired Matt Rhule out of Baylor as their next head coach. That was a lot of Cowboy fans wanted to take a chance on a gadget type guy.
Hey, look, he said he wasn't going to coach though in the pro.
He said he wasn't going to coach the Browns.
So they added a zero.
The Browns. Yeah, he spoke out and said, I don't want a job that bad in the NFL.
Look, he's a good coach. Whether or not it translates to the NFL, we'll see. But Baylor was dead in the water. They were dead in the water, and he got there, and he turned that thing around fast. I mean, if you...
See, I don't know how I feel about that, though.
Why?
Why not?
Just say what you feel.
Here's the thing. You can go hire Mike McCarthy, and we pretty much know exactly what that's going to be, right? You know that Mike McCarthy is an offensive-minded guy, pretty conservative guy. Mm-hmm. You know how he's going to run a team. You know how you know how NFL players are going to react to him. You, mm-hmm. you have a real good idea because he's got a long track record in the NFL. Matt Rhule is a completely empty sheet of paper. I have no idea. It could be a disaster. Yeah. It could be great. You just don't know. And I look, it depends on where you are. If you're the Cowboys, I don't think you take a huge swing for a guy. You need to go with this is what we need. This is what we're going to get. Carolina is kind of they're in that middle ground where they don't stink. They're not very good. They're just kind of in the middle of the pack. Why not take a shot on a new guy?
No, that's true. You convinced me in a short period of time. I'm not saying I wouldn't take a shot on him.
How do you like him with Cam? Do you think he can resurrect Cam's career, Key, if Cam stays there, in fact?
I don't think Cam's career needs to be resurrected. I think he just needs to stay healthy. It's a health issue with Cam, more so than it is anything. Matt Rhule did a terrific job at Temple, turning that thing around. He did a terrific job, obviously, at Baylor, which Baylor was basically done.
Mm-hmm.
He got them competitive again, even though they've been run out of the building the last couple of games. But.
Well, they ran into much better teams, first of all. But he took a team that was not winning at all and had them win double-digit games.
He's a good coach. There's no question about it. He is a good coach. It just would be interesting to see how he makes the transition from college football to the National Football League.
There may be some take-it-or-shake-its on that topic as well. All right. DeMarco Farr, we'll ask him about the new hires across the league. We'll ask him, of course, about Wade Phillips being down the road. He is gone as the Rams defensive coordinator. DeMarco Farr joins us next. So messed up. I don't care how many times I hear it. DeMarco Farr joins us every single Tuesday during the football season. DeMarco, good morning. How are you?
What's happening, man? Just think about this, right? You have to call Wade Phillips into your office and say, I don't need you anymore. How tough do you think that would be?
Yeah.
You leave it at post-it.
For any head coach. I mean, he's been fired before, but just this is Sean McVay's first time having to do this. I mean, that's got to be tough on anybody.
DeMarco, I would imagine this didn't come as a surprise to anybody inside the building?
No, you know what? I actually heard the narrative on the sideline. It's funny, if you listen hard enough, you can hear what's coming down the road. I guess that's from so many years of being, you know, in professional football. But
or nosy.
I heard the narrative. Baltimore came up. Tampa Bay was shocking. What happened in Dallas was inexcusable. And then how you lose in San Francisco, you know, with that debacle at the end when Jalen Ramsey is yelling at Taylor Rapp at the end. There's a lot of confusion. So I heard the narrative, and I heard the reasons why even before the move came down, even before it was announced.
DeMarco, did he get fired or did his contract expire? Because he signed a three-year deal.
Fired. I mean, his contract was up and they chose not to renew. I mean, you know, picking nits, I guess. But, I mean, his services were no longer required. That's what you had to convey to Wade Phillips. That had to be tough.
Now, where do you go from here? Is it Joe Barry? Do you look outside? Because the personnel certainly suggests that when you built this defense, you built it in favor of Wade Phillips' style. Now, if you go away from this style, you're looking at something totally different if you go outside the building.
You mean like if you shift to a 4-3? And I thought about that. If you were going after, let's say, I think Jim Schwartz, has he been hired?
He's interviewing with people.
He's interviewing. He's a 4-3 guy. So let's just say you wanted to hire him. I think you can actually convert Dante Fowler to a defensive end. What's different besides standing up and putting your hand down? I mean, he's big enough. He's tough enough. He's good against the run. I mean, you have to find another end, but you can retool into a 4-3 faster than you think, and you've got the safeties and corners to do that. So if that's the way you wanted to go. But Joe Barry, Aubrey Pleasant, two guys you have on hand that basically did most of the coaching in-game, or at least from what I could tell during halftime, the guys that would be up next, those would be great hires if you wanted to hire one of them outright or in a co-coordinator role, which would be so modern NFL. I could see that happening and keep the status quo. But, you know, look, after this is nothing new in professional football. When you have defensive collapses and you're a 9-7 football team that didn't make the postseason, heads are going to roll. So it's tougher because it is Wade Phillips. But these moves aren't shocking. When you play the way you play for, I guess, most of the year.
DeMarco Farr, Rams on-field analyst, who's on vacation right now, joining us on the morning show.
I wish.
If you make this move, and you've made this move, and fast forward to 2020 football season, and your defense is the same or worse, now what?
Oh, well, it's chess. You know, it's chess, not checkers. So you sacrifice as many pawns as you can, but pretty soon it's going to be just you. So this was a chip. I remember listening and talking to Jeff Fisher about not playing Jared Goff, and it didn't make sense, but then it made sense after he got fired. Well, that was a chip for you to extend your coaching career. Okay, so you let go of Wade Phillips, you hire your own guy. If that doesn't work out, that's a poor reflection on you. So, you know, you're going to roll as many heads as you can before it's your head on the block. That's just the way it goes.
Hmm.
DeMarco, what's next? So this is the first move. So the second move, another coaching decision. We know about the running backs coach, or is the next move player?
I think the next move is going to be staff, and I think we already saw it, depending on who you hire there. And then we talked about that offensive senior consultant. I think that is very important because, you know, the optics look, they don't look right now. Most of the problems with this football team, or I guess the glaring problems, came on the other side of the football, the offensive side of the football. So to fix that, you fire Wade. That doesn't look right. So you're still got some work to do on your staff on the offensive side. You got to get Jared Goff back up to speed or back to playing consistent football. That no one's forgot about that. So you still have to do something there. So this is just one of many changes I expect on the staff for the Rams.
Just real quick, DeMarco. This team was outstanding in the second half of the NFC Championship game defensively. They were outstanding in the Super Bowl. What happened?
You know, a lot of changes to the secondary. You know, and some guys, let's just be honest, that they didn't play well enough down the stretch or make enough plays. There's only so much you can depend on Aaron Donald or Dante Fowler. Somebody else has to make plays. When Taylor Rapp made that pick versus Arizona, it was like, wow, great, that was awesome, that's a sign of the future, but you could have used that two or three games ago. Maybe you'd still be playing going into February. So that's just the way it goes. So some guys just have to keep getting better or didn't play well enough for you to be a great defense down the stretch, which is what you needed.
DeMarco, you know, obviously Wade is gone. I mean, how much of the defense is going to look different a year from now? I mean, obviously Aaron Donald is going to be there, and beyond that, Taylor Rapp's going to be there, and you got Jalen Ramsey, assume he's going to sign a new deal. But beyond that, is everybody else a potential guy to maybe come back, maybe leave? Are we going to see a whole new defense next season?
Well, I do know. I mean, the guys that are getting paid a lot of money, Jared Goff, Todd Gurley's money kicks in, and Aaron Donald's getting paid a lot of money. So some of these guys that we've gotten used to, the Michael Brockers, the Corey Littletons, they might move on because that's what NFL economics dictate. Guys like Eric Weddle could retire, so you're going to have to fill in there. Maybe John Johnson III has to become a free safety, and Taylor Rapp plays closer to the line of scrimmage, which is where he belongs. That's going to happen, but there's going to be new faces, new names because of the new NFL money and the guys, the money you're paying some of your top-line guys.
What about on the offensive side? You think Andrew Whitworth is back next year?
You know what, man? I would beg, but at what price? I think he's so important because, like you said, when you get Joseph Noteboom back, he's going to be your left tackle of the future. Okay, he's going to take over that role without starts. We saw that at guard. Oh, and by the way, he's rehabbing right now. So, I mean, I would keep Andrew Whitworth as long as possible, as long as the price is right.
And I think that's a smart move in just knowing that the Rams could protect him with some help, you know, slide guys over to tight end on that side. I think he had a decent enough year.
I thought he did great down the stretch. I mean, he was faced with some great pass rushers. He kept them off Jared Goff. They had a great game plan, so it was him plus, you know, the game plan that kept these guys off Jared Goff. So I think he is so important to the offense. I really do.
Will Todd Gurley be here after draft day?
Ooh, man. I mean, it's prohibitive to let him go, right? I mean, you just can't do it. It would be silly to do that financially. But you can't have what you had with him this year. If it's going to be what you had out of Todd, then it's got to be a co-role. Then somebody else has got to be that second starter. The days of Todd Gurley as a bell cow back appear to be over, unless they're not. So it's either usage or Todd himself. What happened this year cannot happen again. But I don't think there's anything you can do with Todd, with that contract. You're going to have him in 2020, unless you want to eat the money.
DeMarco, you got to see it up close. I think if you go back and look at the season, there are kind of two games that jump off the page at you for the Rams last season. The one was in Pittsburgh in the fourth quarter where they didn't use Todd Gurley. And then the second one was when they got absolutely run out of the building by the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys get rid of Jason Garrett or don't renew his contract. They bring in Mike McCarthy. What are the Cowboys going to look like with a new coach next year?
Wow. I mean, a guy that's won a Super Bowl within the last 10 years, he kind of fell out of favor in Green Bay or lost the power struggle with Aaron Rodgers. Easy to do. I mean, Aaron's the institution. Brett Favre was the institution. So the head coach will go before the quarterback does. But I think Mike McCarthy was on the cutting edge offensively. I mean, there was a lot going into that offense that you had to prepare for, and not just Aaron Rodgers. They were pretty multiple. They ran the ball really well. They had a really good offensive line, a sound concept with Mike McCarthy. So, you know, Dallas has talent. All that's missing is a credible play caller, somebody that can bring it all together, bring out the best in Dak Prescott and continue to bring out the best in Zeke Elliott. And you've got a pretty good offensive line and Amari Cooper if you choose to go that route. So I think Mike McCarthy in Dallas is a great move for the Cowboys. Jerry Jones could be crazy like a fox. I think this is an upgrade over Jason Garrett, no doubt.
Mm. DeMarco, real quick, I've been looking at videos between Jalen and Shakira, and I can't figure out which one should open and which one should close. So at halftime, do you think J-Lo should open and Shakira should close, or should Shakira open and J-Lo close?
Oh, my God. If it were me, J-Lo's closing. I mean, Shakira, warm them up, you know, get them going, play your hits, but I need to finish with J-Lo.
All right, well,
Jorge doesn't agree with you at all.
The correct answer is Jennifer Lopez opens and closes. That's the correct answer to that question.
Fair enough, Travis. With you. Thank you.
DeMarco Farr joins us every single Tuesday during the football season. Thanks, DeMarco. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, sir.
All right, guys. See you, man.
Enjoy vacation.
All right, the divisional round of the playoffs is ahead. That is up next. We'll take a look at some of those matchups and who's going to move forward. That's coming up.
Go get you back, LZ.
Look. This is fine, but if we're going to do the competition,
man, she danced with horses, man.
I understand, but we've done back to back Shakiras and no J Lo. I feel like we're not getting equal representation.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
right, J Lo on the way. Well, come on,
so
man.
So let me ask you a question. Why y'all? I mean, I don't get it.
You don't get what?
What don't you get?
What don't you get?
Yeah.
Her hips are not lying. What else do you want?
I mean,
yeah. Keith.
Never mind.
What? Put up a poll.
Both very talented performers.
Actually, you may have already have.
Two in a rack. Never mind. All right. So the divisional weekend is coming up here. And this is, according to many, the best weekend of football of the year because we've eliminated all of the chaff, and now we're down to the eight best teams in the league.
I never liked that phrase, by the way.
Chaff?
The wheat and the chaff thing.
Yeah.
I just think that we're no longer farmers and stuff. Most of America doesn't know what chaff is.
We still turn the clocks because of the farmers, and we haven't been doing that for a while.
I don't know what a shaft or chaffed is.
Chaff. It's the stuff from the wheat that you don't eat.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the stuff from the wheat that you don't eat.
Right.
I had no idea. I've never heard that in my life.
Have you ever made your own bread with the wheat and stuff?
There you go.
Are you a pioneer? There you go. Exactly. Yeah. You got your butter churn and your chaff machine.
Yeah, seriously.
All right. So let's go in order here. We're going to see Saturday morning, or Saturday afternoon, I should say, 1:30. The Vikings go to take on the number one seed, San Francisco 49ers. The Vikings are the six, but the Vikings have played really well all season long. They had a little bit of a hiccup towards the end.
They could have been the one, the two, the three, the four, the five, but they happen to be the six.
All six of those NFL, NFC teams.
They all, much like Coach is saying, all those teams switch back and forth. Once upon a time in the beginning of the year, the Vikings were a team that you thought could be the number one team.
Seattle went into the final weekend of the season with a chance to potentially be the number one. They ended up as the five.
Yeah.
So everybody is pretty even in there. Do you think San Francisco, or you should say Minnesota, can go on the road again and beat another? I mean, New Orleans, I know that they have some weird stuff, but San Francisco, I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday. I don't think they're that good. I don't think guys, they're 13-3. That doesn't happen on accident.
Right. Coach, I don't think that they're that good.
Really?
Whoever you were talking to, I think Minnesota's a better football
team. Better than the Saints.
I think they're a better football team than the San Francisco 49ers.
Why?
I think that from a skill position standpoint on the receiver side, they're better. I think the running game is better. I think right now the quarterback is better. I think defensively all 11 is better than San Francisco, where San Francisco depends on their front to create energy and havoc to protect people like Richard Sherman. That's just what I think.
Then how did they go 13-3?
Sometimes that's just the way it is, man. Sometimes you play the Rams twice. Sometimes you just, sometimes you play Arizona's twice. Sometimes that
Arizona is one of the teams getting more trouble than anybody.
No, but
Minnesota played Detroit
the Lions
twice.
And the Bears.
Yeah, twice, yeah.
Shut up.
I'm just saying I'm paid to talk.
That sometimes you win these games and based on how the schedule goes, when they fall, how well a team is playing at that particular time that you get them, all of the little things. But in terms of matchups, I believe Minnesota has the better football team than San Francisco. That doesn't mean that San Francisco might not win the game. I'm just saying that they are a better team.
How much of that has to do with the perception that you have of Jimmy G versus the perception you have of Cousins? Because typically you go and bob and weave based upon starting with the QB out. How much of that has to do with the fact that you have an untested QB in Garoppolo who's never played, who never started in a postseason game, who hasn't been in this moment before? Kirk Cousins at least has won his first postseason game already.
You know, for me, you asking me that question, I don't get caught up in this is his first postseason game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is to us as a fan base because the field's painted different. You're the only game on television.
Well, and it's also if you lose, your season's over.
No,
right.
But you know that as a player. So you don't asking me that. I'm like, he played 16 games, man. It's the same thing. It's a crowd. It's noise. You got the same plays. You just got a different opponent. That's the way I look at it.
So the other game on Saturday is the Saturday night game. You got Tennessee going to play the other number one seed, the Baltimore Ravens. This is the only game on the weekend where I would be genuinely surprised if the road team won.
It's going to be like
this is the
Ravens
only
are my 11. I'm letting you know right now.
That's going to be a sneak peek. It's going to be how long typically is football games? 3.5?
3 and change.
So this will probably be 2:45.
He's going to go that fast.
Go that fast.
Because both teams are going to run.
They're going to run the ball up and down the field.
Tennessee have any can Derrick Henry control the ball?
Absolutely.
Can they not let it put it in Lamar Jackson's hands?
Absolutely.
Can they choke this game out and win it 14-10 or something weird like that?
Absolutely. 100%. They 100% could go on the road and continue. 100% they can't.
I'm not feeling that one.
Okay, well, don't pick. I'm not asking you to, right? I'm just saying they can.
The Ravens are 11 for one reason.
I don't even know the point spread.
And it's not, I don't care. I don't even care. Because when I look at how they played last weekend, they being the Tennessee Titans, and I know the physicality of the Baltimore Ravens, they're going to do something that the Patriots weren't willing to do. And that is hit Henry.
Oh, I got one.
They're going to hit him. The Patriots are trying to arm tackle him because they didn't want that smoke. The Ravens, they breathing nothing but carbon dioxide. They want all the smoke.
I don't want your picks now.
I got one.
Grow up.
A mini last man standing.
No, get out. Get out.
Mini last man standing.
Just a quick
How many? No, hold on, Raj.
Okay.
How many Heisman Trophy winners?
I know the answer to this.
You're not in it. How many Heisman Trophy winners are on the field in the Tennessee Baltimore game? Oh, last man standing, mini win.
Oh, wait, hold on.
So, Raj.
Let me see. Four.
Hold on.
Bonk, bonk.
So you got Mark, you got Lamar.
Oh, it's five. Cinco.
And you got five.
Oh, play my music.
He was out. It's five.
Mariota. Henry. Ingram. RG3. Lamar.
Oh, another one. How many are backup quarterbacks?
Oh, wait. The rest of them.
More NFL football, take it or shake it. That's coming up next. I get to do take it or shake it by myself, apparently, today. I'm very excited about this.
Because that's something else.
Yeah, well, all right, let's start here. Let's start with we saw where Matt Rhule, who was the former coach at Baylor, is now the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Urban Meyer is still on the sidelines somewhere. You are surprised that Urban Meyer is not coaching football this upcoming season. Take it or shake it.
Take it. I'm surprised that we didn't hire him at USC. If he was at USC, that's the only job. Other than that, he's not an NFL football coach. His style doesn't fit the National Football League. His offensive philosophy doesn't work in the NFL. And I just think his personality is different in the NFL.
The personality that works in the NFL? Because it seems like there's a lot of different types of guys that have success.
Well, you're not gonna be able to talk to players and deal with players a certain way that Urban deals with family and players. You know,
Is he an authoritarian?
No, it's not that he's an authoritarian. It's just he's not a... I don't want to call him like a liar, but he's a college football coach.
He's a liar, man. He's a liar. Look at
this. And college football coach are synonyms. That's great.
Because
what did
Rhule
just say? I'm not going nowhere. Stop asking. I'm not going anywhere.
Said I'm not going to Cleveland.
He said in December he's looking to return back to Baylor. He's not looking to coach in the NFL.
Can I defend the liars for a second?
No. But I don't want to. Yeah. I'm just saying I don't want to call him a liar. But when you're recruiting, you have to kind of fudge some things along.
Of course.
In the pros, I make $17 million, man. You're not going to tell me a damn thing other than the truth.
That's why, and I'm making a joke a little bit, but it's also true. This is why, as a college football coach, when the question of, hey, are you interested in the NFL, you 100% have to tell that lie every time, right up until you walk out the door. Because if you don't, if you say, yeah, it's always something, every other college coach is going to, you know, he's going to leave. He said it. He said he's interested in the NFL. You have to tell that lie. Because you don't know if you're going to get a job, and you need to be able to walk back into that living room of that kid and say, hey, come play for me in the event that Carolina doesn't offer you the job.
I guess.
Lying serves its purpose every once in a while. Stay with college football for a second. Here's Tua Tagovailoa announcing that he's headed to the NFL.
My love for the University of Alabama, our coaches, our fans, and my teammates has made this especially hard for me. I have had the advice and counsel of my parents, my family, and coaches in going through a thorough analysis of the alternatives. And without further ado, with lots of prayers, thoughts, and guidance, I have decided that I will be declaring and entering the 2020 NFL draft.
Speaking of lying.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Tua Tagovailoa wanted to stay at Alabama, take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would you want to stay?
Didn't sound like he was all that excited to be leaving.
Well, I think it's his personality. I think, you know, from me being around like the Polynesian culture, they're kind of everything is laid back and subdued. It's kind of calm. Whether it's Troy Polamalu, you know, you talk to Troy and you sit there sometimes like, Troy, man, what are you talking about? Because it's just everything's calm. They're not overexcited. I mean, it's just not, you know, other than like the late Junior Seau, he was every now and then, he was excited, but for the most part, he was calm. It was like, buddy, everything was just chill. It's that Islander in him, you know, it's kind of like, I'm out by the water, I'm just chilling. And that's the way he was at his press conference. He wasn't overexcited about it. He probably really would have liked to still been it at Alabama. Like me, I wish I could have played at SC forever.
Well, that's the thing. I get the money, and you got to take it. You have to.
And there ain't even nothing to talk about.
There's not even anything to talk about. But I also understand the idea of, this is a pretty sweet gig. I'm the quarterback at Alabama. We're going to play for the national championship. I got a chance to win a Heisman. All of these
Travis.
Other things.
Travis. I was just about Travis.
Nobody goes to college to stay in college.
Matt Leinart did it.
No, regardless of profession, no one goes to college to stay in college. We all go to college because we want to go on to other things.
I got news for you.
That's why you go to college.
If I could still be running around Isla Vista, I'd still be doing it.
Well, because that was a good time. That's the same thing I say about
you had
SC.
A bad time there.
If I could still hang out at the 3-2 and a 9-0 and walk up and down 32nd Street with my board shorts and t-shirts and look non-threatening, I'd do it.
Here's Mike Zimmer talking about his quarterback, Kirk Cousins, and whether or not he proved anything against the Saints.
It's just about him solidifying himself. All of the bad rhetoric that he gets all the time, about this or that. You know, I just felt like time to tell a lot of people that he's our guy and he did it.
You have 100% confidence in Kirk Cousins heading into the divisional round. Take it or shake it.
Take it. If you go back to
you like that.
If you go back to the beginning of the year when I went to the Minnesota. Gosh, who did they play?
Was it Denver? I want to say it was Denver.
I thought you went to the camp and you came
back.
No,
that was a year ago.
Yeah, you were hyped.
That was a year ago, but he bombed a year ago. Yeah. Watching him live in person against the Minnesota played somebody. I don't remember who it was. But having an opportunity to watch him play, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's going to be straight. He's going to be fine. I'm not worried about it. What happens, though, is there's always in professional sports in general, and you guys know this, and you're a writer and you write this type of stuff, there's a narrative that's set about somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't win the big game.
Well, it's
true. He can't win on Monday night.
It's true.
Okay, so he loses on Monday nights because it happens to be a Monday night game that he loses on because he played in six of them, and they just happen to not win. Does it make him a bad quarterback? It just that game fell on that particular day, and they happened to lose.
But when you're 0-9, that's not a weird scheduling quirk.
I am cognizant. This is Monday Night Football. Yes. I'm aware that I haven't won yet, and this stuff starts to build.
It's not true. Let me ask you something. So I scored on a Monday night. I scored on every single team that I've ever played on when we played on Monday nights.
Ooh.
Does that make me like a special Monday night player?
No. You rose to the occasion.
No. Hold on.
Yes.
No, it doesn't.
No, yes, it does.
Because I scored when it wasn't Monday night.
Keith, here's the difference.
You guys are crazy.
No. There are guys that are very, very comfortable with everybody looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knowing that, hey, what about you? What about you? What about you? You happen to be one of those people that is very comfortable being in the dead center of the spotlight. There are other people that really prefer to be on the periphery. They perform much better. They would prefer to be a supporting player rather than the leading man.
Kirk Cousins could very easily be that.
Certain things
that come up on this show, I guess I'm immune to them then because it just – like, a game is a game. Lights are the lights. I don't care.
That's the right approach. But some people don't have that approach. They feel the pressure. They're aware of the narrative. All those things are flowing through their heads. Remember what T.O. said about Donovan McNabb in the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
That he could barely breathe. He was hurling. Everybody can't.
It ain't for
everybody. It ain't for everybody.
One more very quickly. Josh McDaniels is going to be the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Take it or shake it. Bump.
Take it.
You think?
Take it. All right.
You didn't convince me, by the way.
I had to think about it because they're going to have to give him total control of everything for him to be able to make the move. They don't have a general manager in play yet, and their kind of search committee is the president of the team, I believe the financial guy of the team, and maybe somebody else, and the owner and his wife. And that's pretty much it. They didn't hire anybody. And I'm sure Josh McDaniels is saying, I want full control of everything in order to come over. And they're now out of the playoffs. So his hiring could come up very soon because these college football all-star games are coming up. You got the East-West game coming. You have the NFLPA game coming. And you have the Senior Bowl, which is the most important of the three. They've got to get their staff ready to go.
Do you think that's why he decided not to go to Indy? What was it, a year ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah, see,
where he was in the bill. He basically said yes, and at the last minute changed his mind.
But see, I wouldn't even hire that dude, though. If I'm owning the team or I'm president of the team, I can't hire him because of that move that he pulled in Indy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, you coming or going, dog.
Maybe he saw Andrew Luck walk by him and start going...
I
don't know about that.
I can't hire a dude that – I can't hire a guy that signed up.
That's for sure.
Yeah, hi, signed up, and all of a sudden you just leave me standing at the office.
And who knows? I mean, we'll never know because New England is – you know, trying to get information out of them is virtually impossible. But maybe they said, hey, don't take that job. You're our next guy. Bill's got X amount of seasons left, and then you're going to be the guy. Don't go anywhere.
But do you want to be that guy following Bill? It's a hard follow.
Yeah, Nick. The hardest.
You know, that's why it's just – you following a Super Bowl-type winning coach, man, that's hard.
All right, Luke Walton has his eyes on one of his former players. We'll tell you which one next.